A surge in anti-Semitic attacks is driving European Jews to move to Israel and other countries where they feel safe. Over the last 2 years, nearly 20,000 Jews have left Europe, according to the Jewish Agency, a group that tracks immigration to Israel. Special correspondent Malcolm Brabant reports tonight from Denmark and Sweden on the fears there and the attempts to reduce the tension.
These Valentine's bouquets symbolize the loss of Denmark's innocence. Prime Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen made an anniversary pledge to filmmaker Finn Norgaard, shot at a free speech forum, and synagogue security guard Dan Uzan, killed for being a Jew.
Of course, we are still threatened, but we insist on living our peaceful life, and that is perhaps the most important message we can send here today, that we will never give in, we will never give up.
What about for the Jewish community as well, because they feel particularly vulnerable?
Yes, I realize that, and for that reason we are in close cooperation with the Jewish community, and we do our utmost to protect them. We insist to live side by side in a peaceful manner.
Denmark's new reality required heavily armed police at a basketball match to celebrate Dan Uzan's life. He loved the game, and his face adorned the uniforms of the predominantly Jewish teams. Dan's father, Sergiot, has always insisted that hate should not prevail.
The most important the message is that we have to be together and to fight terrorism together. He will not win and with power. We have to win it with goodness.
Hannah Bento was the girl Dan Uzan died protecting. Her bat mitzvah, or coming-of-age party, was in full swing when the terrorist attacked the synagogue. Every week before the Jewish Sabbath, her mother, Meta, has a special ritual, lighting a candle for Dan Uzan. Meta Bento's high profile has made her a target for anti-Semitic behaviour. Since the shooting, she's received numerous threats via social media and in broad daylight in central Copenhagen.
He spat at me, so I did get a little healing, but it was mainly the spitting at me that was very uncomfortable.
Meta Bento believes that these days anti-Semitism comes predominantly from Muslims. But she's trying to maintain a sense of idealism and friendship with Nidal El Jabri.
Hi.
How are you?
I had a feat.
Monsieur?
Yeah.
Hello.
El Jabri, a Palestinian whose family hails from Hebron on the West Bank, was instrumental in organizing a peace ring around the synagogue following last year's attack.
It's all about the kids for me, and it's always been about the kids for me. We want to make this society safe for them. I keep saying that the Jewish school here in Copenhagen is one of the biggest examples of how humanity has failed in this country. That you have to have armed forces, you have barbed wire around the school, and you have cameras all over. When that is the situation, adults need to sit down and really think about what it is that this country is doing to its children.
Meta Bento could not bear to be in Denmark on the anniversary. She took her daughter to Israel, to which she's increasingly drawn.
My children's future is not in Denmark. No, it's not. If they want to live a Jewish life, it's not in Denmark. There's no... My future for the time being is in Denmark, and then we'll see.
Historically in Europe, anti-Semitism has come from the right wing, but most Jewish leaders believe the greatest threat now emanates from the continent's growing Muslim population. This is a gathering of the extreme Islamist political party Hizbut Tahrir last year, not long after the Copenhagen attacks. Hizbut Tahrir wants a worldwide caliphate. It's banned in several European countries, but not in Denmark. Its spokesman is Elias Lambrabet.
What is your message to the Jews of Copenhagen who feel especially vulnerable?
I don't feel responsible to have a specific message to the Jews of Copenhagen, and I'm not certain that they are, in fact, especially vulnerable compared to many other people. So I don't really have any comment to that question.
How can you say they're not vulnerable when...
I said I don't have a comment to that question.
Is that because it's too difficult for you?
No, not at all. It's because I think this interview is over.
After the synagogue attack, Copenhagen's chief rabbi, Yahya Melchior, says that dialogue with local Muslim leaders has intensified and improved, and claims that Denmark is safer for Jews than France, where thousands are leaving.
The majority of the Jews leaving France, they live from a very specific neighborhood. There are usually Jews who immigrated, or their parents immigrated to France. They immigrated to live in a better place. Now, if they live in a bad neighborhood with a very big percentage of Muslim population, then they can find themselves leave.
After a machete attack on a Jewish teacher last year in the southern French port of Marseille, the local rabbi urged his community not to go out in public wearing Jewish symbols such as the kippah. He was quickly criticized for what was called his defeatist attitude. But here in Scandinavia, such discretion has become essential. Across the bridge to Malmö, whose large Muslim population has expanded drastically during Sweden's short-lived open-door refugee policy. At the Jewish kindergarten, they're preparing traditional Sabbath bread. The numbers of children attending have dropped sharply since the Copenhagen attacks. We weren't allowed to show their faces for security reasons. Today, the Jewish community numbers just 500, a quarter of its size a generation ago. Its acting head is Freddy Gelberg.
It's essential for the Jewish community in this city. If we don't have any kids, no future. Our biggest enemy is assimilation in a way. Traditions and culture, which are most important for most of us. Maybe not the Jewish religion.
Why can't we dress the way we want to dress without risking being attacked?
Frederick Sieratsky is running a new information center that's part of a rearguard action to give this ever-shrinking minority a more powerful voice.
Most Jews are wary about wearing symbols, Jewish symbols, of course. Young Jewish kids are very careful not to walk around with a Star of David or other kind of, or a yarmulke on their head, a kippah.
If anyone understands the situation, it's Siavosh Derakhti, who's been feted by President Obama for urging Muslims to resist anti-Semitism and to integrate. A young Swede of Iranian Muslim heritage, his peacemaking efforts have put him on the same front line as the Jews.
Every day I get the threats that I'm a traitor, I am a Jewish lover, I'm a pig, I have to die, they're gonna kill me. I am here in Sweden because my family flew from Iran and from the dictatorship. But we see in Malmö and Sweden that this democracy that we cannot live side by side, and I want to make that happen.
Nima Ghulam Alipour's parents fled from Iran in 1988 to avoid his brother being conscripted as a child soldier. He belongs to the right-wing Sweden Democrat Party and fears anti-Semitism will increase as a result of the country's open-door policy.
My worries is that if you see the infrastructure among some migrants here in Sweden, if you see the mosques, what they are saying, what kind of language they're using, and if you see the language that today exists, the migrants that are coming there are coming to a society where anti-Semitism is normal among some migrants, and it will strengthen.
We hope that the influx of immigrants here, of refugees, immigrants, won't increase the tensions, and we try to work together with the city council and with other organizations, immigrant organizations, to, you know, bring down the tension.
Amen. Jewish communities believe that if these children are to have a future, newcomers must leave behind the conflicts of the Middle East and accept the European aspirations of tolerance and peaceful coexistence. But critics say that Sweden has a poor integration record, so is that an impossible challenge? For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Malcolm Brabant in Scandinavia.